Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us in the second half of the program. So looking forward to that. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We had Mike Herndon from paulkuharski.com on with us yesterday, and we got into a lot of different things with Mike, but one thing we talked about was edge rusher and the possibility of going there at number four. So whether it's David Bailey, whether it's Arvell Reese, if he slides down, Reuben Bain, what's that going to look like when the draft comes around? Got into all those possibilities with Herndon, who loves David Bailey, and made that very clear on the show yesterday. Here's what Mike Herndon had to say on David Bailey and the edge rusher group yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road.
I think for me, and this is kind of where I've been for a while, I think it's David Bailey. And, you know, I know a lot of people love Jeremiah Love. You know, some people are Reuben Bain fans, but for me, it's Bailey. And I think, you know, the value of the position, the fact that, you know, he does have the profile, I think, of an elite edge rusher. And I think somehow along the way that this edge class at the top has gotten discounted as if these are not blue chip players, because everybody keeps saying, you know, well, there's no blue chip players at premium positions. I think there are. I think both Bain and Bailey are. Now, they aren't perfect prospects. These are not Myles Garrett level prospects, but are they close to a Will Anderson level prospect? Are they close to, are they better than Abdul Carter? I think they're better than Abdul Carter was last year, both of them. And so I think David Bailey to me is the guy. I mean, the production, he had, I think, 81 pressures last year, 14 or 15 sacks, has been one of the most productive edge rushers. If you look at win rate, he had like a 38% win rate on true pass sets, which is an insane number historically, better than pretty much, I think it may be better than any edge rusher coming out in PFF's kind of charting history. So I think this idea that Bailey and Bain are not elite edge rushers is nonsense. And I would rather have one of those guys, and specifically Bailey, just because I think the profile, the arm length, the speed, the explosiveness, the get off, all that stuff. I think that's all going to translate. And I think he's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL here in a few years.
So that was Mike Herndon yesterday on the show. A couple things from that, Joe. Number one, boy, them birds sure were coming through yesterday, weren't they?
They were. Do you miss them? Did you get a little reminiscing from yesterday?
Yeah, I kind of do.
The sweet sounds of those birds.
I knew they were loud.
It sounded almost like they were making, like it was like patterned, you know, like they were singing a song there.
I knew they were loud. I didn't think they were that loud. Good grief.
There were a lot of comments yesterday. It didn't come through for me that much, but like listening to that, I was like, oh, now I see why people were commenting so much about the birds yesterday.
I could hardly listen to Herndon. I was like, listen to the birds back there. It's good stuff. So number one, shout out to the birds. Boy, were they coming through strong in that segment yesterday. And number two, Mike Herndon loves him some David Bailey. He said, you know, I don't really understand throughout this process how basically some of these edge rushers, in his opinion, have been devalued. Says that he thinks Bailey and Bain are clearly better than Abdul Carter from a year ago. Specifically Bailey, like you heard some of the numbers that he threw out there on the Bailey front. So, you know, Herndon, I think if possible, Joe, talked me even more into David Bailey yesterday if he's there. That's already where I was leaning anyway, but I enjoyed what Mike Herndon had to say on the David Bailey front.
Yeah, and we've talked some about it before, like the comparisons, like Will Anderson. We see what he's become now. And he was a big-time prospect, but I didn't know for sure. You know, you watch him in Alabama, obviously you can see the talent, you see the ability. I remember it's like, man, I watched Oh my goodness, the right tackle who plays for the Bears now, whose name is eluding
Darnell Wright.
me. Yes, thank you. Darnell Wright completely just without help, really, in that game, handle Will Anderson. And it's like, yeah, that kind of sticks out in my mind. Like, am I putting too much stock in it? Yeah, well, it turns out I was putting too much stock in it. But the point is, if you can tell me that David Bailey's in the range of Will Anderson, you telling me that that's not what the Titans should do? It's 100% what the Titans should do.
I agree, and I'm beginning to have more and more doubts that he's going to be there. But if he, I mean, Herndon brought it up yesterday, thinking about that front. Like, if you got your two guys in the interior that we talked about with Simmons and John Franklin Myers, and you add a legitimate pass rushing threat coming off the edge. And look, I have no idea what Jermaine Johnson is going to be. You know, he's been a good player in the league. He's been a good player under Robert Saleh. Obviously, there's a reason he went to go get him. But, you know, at this stage in his career, given the injury history, what's he going to be? I don't know. We'll find out. But if you add a legitimate guy off the edge in David Bailey, like, to me, that'd be hard to pass up when you think about what that's going to mean for your defense. And I know we've talked about the help for the quarterback thing, but as we talked about to end yesterday's show, they have not drafted a first-round edge rusher since 2010. That's 16 years ago, Joe. That's a long time in the NFL. Given how important that position is, that's a long time in the NFL not to go that route. Not that that's the reason why you do it. Not that that's, you know, your driving motivation behind doing it. But I look at the number four pick as, like, how do you come away with players that you just – you don't have the opportunity to get very often, right? Like, and look, Jeremiah Love falls into that category. I think he's a player that you don't have the opportunity to get very often. It's not like Jeremiah Love is out there growing on trees every offseason. But I do think it's easier to get, you know, good players at that position. I think getting a young stud pass rusher is a very difficult thing to do in this league if you're not doing it in the draft. And history shows us, Joe, you pretty much have to do it very high in the draft. There are some outliers here and there. But by and large, when you look at some of these elite pass rushers in the NFL, a lot of them are pretty highly drafted in the first round. So the more information you get on it, the more you kind of look at it, I am praying that David Bailey is there at number four for the Tennessee Titans. I am.
Yeah, no, I think it's I agree with all that. It's so many of them are – it's just obvious. You've got to go get that guy. And they don't all work out. You know, the Jags can tell you they don't all work out like you hope. But, you know, the Bosas and Garrett and now Will Anderson. I mean, it's hard to get those guys. They're premium for a reason. They go there for a reason. They're not available otherwise for a reason. And you may have an opportunity. I mean, we are... I assume then, like, we are just dismissing Arvell Reese as an option, right? I mean, is it?
I mean,
are to the point
look,
where
if he's
like,
there, I'd take him, but
oh yeah,
I just don't think he's going to be there.
Yeah. So no, it's. I mean, like, and I understand, and I've said it, and I'm not going to change. Like, if they have that choice, if they actually have the Bailey Love choice, and they go Love, like, I'm not upset about it, but it's not what I would have done. It's not what I would do. And I just think that, like, your chances of being happy with the pick and validating that pick are just a lot easier with, you know, if you take Bailey, or a lot more likely if you take Bailey.
Mike from Clarksville says, you know, the Titans could always do what the Texans did when they got Anderson, which is trade right back up. I remember that well. Texans took Stroud. They traded right back up and got Anderson. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, and for all the, you know, hasn't been perfect for them, but think about that. That took them from terrible to good.
Yeah.
Like, boom, snap your fingers. You got a quarterback and you got a great edge rusher. And there were other things too, of course, not just those two things, but those are the two most important things probably.
I would agree. One texter says, Saleh has already proven that a top 5 to 10 defense is great, but a bad offense will get you fired. And yes, I hear that. I mean, look, let's not kid ourselves. the bad offense that they had in New York was directly a reflection of the quarterback, right? Like, Zach Wilson was terrible, and then they went and signed Aaron Rodgers, and he hurt himself four snaps into the game, and then he was done the rest of the season. So, you know, the quarterback is going to – I said this yesterday. The quarterback is still the most important part of this, and, yeah, like, he needs some help. But if the quarterback play you're getting from Cam Ward is as bad as the quarterback play they got from Zach Wilson, then none of the rest of this is even going to matter. Like, this is – you're going to be screwed at that point. I don't think that's what Cam Ward is. Like, I you know, and there's been a Levis/Ward discussion on the YouTube chat earlier today, which I'm not going to entertain too much. But, you know, I don't know what Cam Ward is. You know, Cam Ward certainly did not have, like, some great rookie season. I do think he got better as the year went along. And I think toward the end of the season, he was starting to play some pretty decent football. So is Cam Ward going to be some great quarterback? I'm not willing to say that yet. I don't know. I mean, I didn't see enough in year one where I'm like, yeah, that guy's definitely going to be some great player here moving forward. But I also, Joe, probably did see enough in year one where I have optimism, hope, whatever you want to call it, that he can turn into a pretty good quarterback for the Titans.
He's got a chance. Yeah. Like, I'm less optimistic, and you probably don't agree with this, but I'm less optimistic about him going into the 2026 season than I was about Marcus Mariota going into the 2016 season. And Mariota had his best year in 2016, and then we know what happened. It just kind of leveled off. You're like, yeah, okay, it's just not quite there. Certainly could be possible. And again, I think Mariota showed more as a rookie with a terrible team, just like Cam Ward was on, than Cam did. But obviously what you hope as a Titans fan is that he takes, you know, he takes off and then keeps improving.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, and some of Mario's story certainly was injury related. Not that I think he was ever, you can't look at it now and say, yeah, like he was going to be an all pro if he never broke his leg. But that's another thing with Cam, is now you worry about the shoulder.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans, the NFL draft, on David Bailey. All that and more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft, Trevor on the text line says, now, Titans can't trade up this year. They got to save their ammunition to go after Jeremiah Smith next year, which I understand. Every team in the league is going to be trying to get Jeremiah Smith next year.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Well, the Titans, if the Titans are bad enough to have a shot,
it's probably not good.
At least you have a shot to get him. But imagine the journey from here to there and what that might mean. Yeah. On so many fronts.
Yeah. One texter says, is Bailey going to catch passes and run through the A-gap to help Cam on offense? Look, this is kind of what I was talking about with Kuharski a couple weeks ago, Joe. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the Titans have, you know, some elite offense or anything, or that they've got this bevy of weapons at their disposal out there, because we all know that they don't. We all know that they could use more help at wide receiver. We all know that they could use an upgrade at running back, and that's not even getting into, you know, the problems they could be facing on the offensive line. But I do think we have shifted too far the other way in this conversation, where it's like the Titans just have a bunch of bums on offense. They just signed a guy who in each of the last 2 years has over 90 catches for 1,000 yards. How many 1,000-yard seasons have Titans receivers had in team history? Let me tell you, it's not very many. Go back and look at it. It ain't very many. And not that I think Wandale Robinson is, you know, A.J. Brown or anything. But he is a good player. Like, clearly. You don't just walk into 95 catches for over 1,000 yards in the NFL, okay? You have Ridley, who, by the way, the last time he was healthy, was a 1,000-yard receiver. So, I mean, I have no idea if Calvin Ridley at the age of 31 is going to be healthy next year. I understand why they kept him. You know, I understand not totally relying on him moving forward. But between those two, DK and Io Manor. Like, this is not the worst receiving group that they've ever thrown out there, right? Like, they've had plenty of years where their receiving group has been worse than this one, and yet we're acting like Cam just has nobody out there on the offensive side of the ball. Don't get me wrong. I need him to have more. I'd like to go get him some more help, right? But I think we've swung this conversation too far the other way where it's like, well, it's just a bunch of bums on the offensive side of the ball. It's like, well, you got a 1,000-yard receiver the last time he was healthy on your team in Calvin Ridley, and you got a guy the last 2 years in this offense that's caught over 90 balls for 1,000 yards. They're not just completely devoid of talent out there.
No, you're right. And even if they were, I just think people are asking the wrong questions. Like Texter says, if you're a defense, are you worried about Pollard or Ridley? We have to get real legit playmakers sometime. And if not in the draft, when? Again, to me, the question is at four, who are you getting? Who are you getting who's a great player? You know, period. You cannot mess up four. You can't mess up having that pick and not come away with a great football player. And I'm not saying Jeremy Love wouldn't be, but as we just have talked about on this show, it is, you can go sign the Super Bowl MVP at running back, who's a really good player in this league. You cannot go sign a top edge player in this league. You won't. You don't get them. They aren't available. And that's the whole thing here. And if you want to just go short term with it, you know, if your defense, you're worried about Pollard, really, well, I don't know if you're worried about it, but again, the Titans are solid at running back. I don't think they're great. I think Saleh and Borgonzi have overstated how good they are, like relative to the league.
I would agree.
Okay. But they're not. But they actually are fine. They're okay. They're solid. And solid, go position by position with this team. How many of these position groups can you say that about? Not that many. It is as simple as get a great player, but also get a great player that this is your opportunity to get a player like that. And that's where I lean toward edge. And when you ask the question, we have to get a real legit playmaker sometime, and if not in the draft, when? This is not a one-round draft. You can get playmakers and help this offense after the first round. You 100% can. Go look around the league. And compare it to, like you said earlier, Robbie, compare it to how many game-changing edges you get at different parts of the draft versus offensive skill players. There's a difference.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, like, let's say they go Bailey at number four. You can find a running back in the draft later. Like, there are going to be some running backs that go in the third and fourth round in this year's draft that end up being pretty good players in the NFL. Now, maybe they're not Jeremiah Love, but they end up being pretty good players in the NFL. We see it every year. I mean, a young guy who plays for the Bears, he was a seventh rounder last year. He's a really good player for them. He's a very difficult guy to tackle. Like, you know, so the running back part of it, again, Love is going to be, I think, a pretty special player. And I'm not anti-Jeremiah Love. If that's who they end up taking, great. I'll be excited about it. But I just think that we've gone too far in the, well, Cam Ward just doesn't have anything on the offensive side of the ball. He does have some things. And by the way, like, he was the number one pick in the draft. Some of this is on him, right? Like, he's got to get better. Independent of his health.
Number one pick in the draft needs to elevate people. I mean, the biggest concern I have and criticism I have is that these guys have not done enough with the interior of the offensive line. And if it turns out to be if that's the case, then that is the problem more than, you know, you could upgrade running back over Tony Pollard. Or, you know, again, it's like, I mean, we're not talking about a receiver at four, right? I mean, not realistically, we're not talking about a receiver at four. I don't think we should be. So, again, if you're gonna address that, you're doing it at 35 or later.
Yes, and they will do that at some point. Like, they're going to draft a receiver. Probably, I'd be pretty surprised if they don't draft one in the first three rounds, if it doesn't shake out that way, based on the amount of receivers that are going to be available. Now, look, they could draft one at four. I don't know that any of these receivers are going to be, you know, those game-changing players that Saleh was talking about yesterday that we talked about. Like, Mike Herndon, I think, put it pretty well on the Carnell Tate front, who most people have as the best receiver in this draft. he does a lot of things pretty well. I don't know that he does anything elite, right? And is that what you want to take at number four? Like, that's a hard, like, at number four, I need to be walking away with a guy that has a chance to be an elite player at their position. And if that's Jeremiah Love, then that's fine. If that's David Bailey, where you've got a chance to be an elite player at a premium position, and I know we hate using that term sometimes, I am all for that. Like, I need at number four overall to be walking away with an elite player.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were to take a Tate, that to me is a lot like John Robinson, knowing they need a receiver, so going with Corey Davis, which is an underrated John Robinson draft mistake for the Tennessee Titans in that 2017 draft. So you definitely don't do that. Texture says, what team has worse weapons than the Titans? The Dolphins, maybe? It's worse than y'all are making it out to be. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be able to, like, quickly give you the diagnosis on the other 31 compared to the Titans. There's a lot of teams that have better weapons. But again, there's also, I mean, I think it is possible for, like, a DK and an Io Manor to get better, right? Like, I think you definitely saw some promise, especially with DK because of his speed in terms of making plays. You definitely will have to upgrade running back. You definitely have to get a number one receiver at some point. But again, it's like, guys, there are other picks in this draft. Like, there are going to be good receivers, and I bet you anything that there's going to be a receiver that goes after the first round in this draft that, if not becomes a number one receiver for a team, becomes a very productive, and probably more than one guy who will do that. You know, you just have to make the right choice.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line. Keep them coming. We'll get into more of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Our football offseason coverage presented by Tennessee Brew Works. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works. Proud partner and official craft beer of the football offseason coverage here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is with us on the program. And let me just be the first to say, you know, we brought this up earlier in the show. We admire PK's dedication to the program. I texted him last night around like 8 o'clock just to check in, see what was going on, whether he was going to be out in Arizona on Zoom today. He was flying back in. He's made it in studio this morning early. He's early this morning after flying across the country last night. PK, let me publicly declare that we appreciate your dedication to this program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the applause. Got in about midnight. Look, Arizona's great. I can't complain about anything. Productive trip. See a lot of friends. A lot of great camaraderie as well. But I did not sleep out there. I really didn't. And I think today's going to be a big nap day. I have some writing to finish up after the show. And I think I'm going to crash and throw off my sleep after after that and continue it. But it's good to be back. Joseph, congratulations on making it to the Final Four, and look forward to more of your work there. I would imagine you guys have discussed this picture that's floating around of Joe on network television.
Oh, we brought it up.
Yeah, but I wasn't here, and I need an explanation for how you, I understand a freeze frame shot is difficult, that we all have bad posing moments, but what possibly could have produced this look?
Well, first of all, okay, I'll answer that question when you answer, did you poach Pelissero's eggs for him?
I did not. I've never poached Pelissero's eggs. I don't know how you've turned into me having Pelissero basically concede he was wrong and apologize to me. And unblock me because he was temperamental and a baby into me somehow serving Pelissero. So I'll set the record straight on that. And now back to you.
Okay. I mean, guy, I thought you were kind of nice and gave the guy some eggs. Well, so that face was, so first of all, the reason that it was a screenshot was because the broadcast went back to Steve Lapis because they wanted to get his reaction on a play where Tennessee's Jalen Carey goes up, tips the ball to himself to steal an inbounds pass, takes it the other way, and dunks it. And basically, my face was, not bad. Jalen Carey did that? Okay. I mean, I don't know. I have a weird face. Like, what do you want me to say? Okay.
All right, that's good. I have a weird face. I think
that's exactly what he was looking for.
And then because I was out of town.
But, like, that expression actually does fit, like, ooh, Jalen Carey did that?
No, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit anything.
Oh, okay.
And then just because I was out of town, it was the general reaction to Tennessee, like, oh, incredibly choking dogs. Was it Barnes has to be fired because he can't advance beyond this? Was it easy draw up until that game? Like, how did Tennessee make excuses for that? Not the team, the fan base.
Well, I think the fan. I mean, if you want to criticize the fan base of Tennessee as it relates to men's basketball, it's not making excuses for anything. It's that they're way too down on. Like, they do not appreciate what Rick Barnes has done for their program. I mean, three straight Elite Eights is something a lot of coaches haven't done. Actually, like, elite coaches haven't done. So, I mean, I think obviously people were upset/disappointed with how ugly the game was Sunday. But it's also like that. That's a great team that we've known all year was a great team. And Tennessee is not a great team. We've known that all year too, right?
We have.
Okay.
Succeed.
Continue with your show.
Thank you. Let's get to some quick thoughts on the text line. PK with us the rest of the program. We'll take more of your questions on the Titans. Kyle in Shelbyville says, if we could just sign Kevin Zeitler, I'd feel so much better going into the draft. But we've only got about $64 million left in cap space. We can't get crazy with that right now.
It's not about money.
PK, I saw your show with Braden Gall yesterday kind of talking about this a little bit.
How'd you like the cameos?
It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this, check it out. There's a rolling cast of famous cameos.
There was.
But Sala came by like literally 3 minutes after we went off the air.
So it sounds like from the way that Borgonzi is talking, your read on it is nothing's going to happen with Zeitler, at least before the draft at this point.
No, and I would set aside your desire, not your desire, but your expectation on Zeitler. I just think they're looking to be younger and to maybe have a full-time practice guy there for the sake of the unit and for the sake of the continuity of the entire offense and all of that. So I think they'd have to really strike out in the draft and really not like Volson, Schlottman, Slater early in OTAs for whatever kind of read you can get about them to decide to go back to that well. I think the thinking maybe has evolved there. And maybe some of it, too, is a developing confidence in Latham. I think part of the early desire to have Zeitler back was for Latham to lean on him, and maybe they're thinking that he doesn't need that to the degree that they maybe thought he did, something along those lines. I think it is shocking, you know, this idea that, hey, if we draft two guys and they wind up being the best guys, we'll start to. I think it's awfully ambitious to think that you'll match Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. Trey Smith obviously was a huge exception, a guy that slid and then overcame the big medical concerns that left him there in the sixth round when he was probably, what, Joe, a third-round talent.
Yeah, third-round talent. Yeah.
So it's a big concern, and you guys were talking about And you got there, you know, receivers and running backs and all that. When the biggest concern on the offense is once again offensive line, really, if you want to solidify that group.
Well, we were talking about this, you know, this number, this all this money that they have that they haven't spent. Yeah, you know, I mean there haven't been that many options, right? But there were some centers who cost a lot of money. Who I'd feel a lot better about this team right now had they been able to lock up someone at that position for your young quarterback who we know is a good starter. And we also know that, you know, they went out and got Cushenberry a couple years ago, and that didn't work out as you hope. But, like, That, to me, is the one thing that I look back on it with free agency, especially if there's any sort of issue, shuffling, inconsistency in the interior of that offensive line. You're going to look back and say, man, you had the money to go spend on some, and it seemed like it was kind of dismissed from the start, like, no way we're spending that kind of money on a center.
Well, Herndon
not
brought
on
this
Linderbaum,
up.
Not on Linderbaum, who I think they thought, you know, is too overpriced and is not like a perfect player by any means.
Yeah.
But then other guys disappeared. I mean, they never had a chance at McGovern. They never had a chance at Biotish. So that market shriveled up. I think that's the one thing. I don't know if it surprised them. It just changed.
Yeah, I mean, Herndon was talking about that yesterday on the show, saying, you know, I don't know if they misread the market, but it didn't play out the way they thought it was going to. Like, people clearly they thought were going to get to free agency that ultimately did not make it to free agency.
And then
so you sit there with all the money now, and then you just hope you're not sitting there with a crappy interior offensive line in the fall.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not a great spot to be in.
I do think they thought Schlotman. Have we concluded that it's Schlotman?
I believe Schlotman is it.
I think so.
I really want to say Schlotman.
That's right.
I mean, I think he should change it to what it looks like it should be. But
I agree.
We'll discuss that with him when we see him in person.
Yes, please do.
I certainly will. If he's the type of guy that seems up for such a conversation, I certainly will have it. I think they concluded, you know, the four games of him, which were good, and his work with the Giants was as good as some of the secondary guys who have played more, like Luke Fortner, who I know they were interested in, who, you know, got demoted by the Jaguars, but then wound up playing for the Saints ultimately. You know, I think they looked at two guys like that and said, well, Schlotman is as good or better. You know, so there, I feel good. Like, hey, they made a judgment there. But I'm also, you know, later today I'll have a piece. This was the first time we had a chance to talk to Borgonzi and Sala about all of these connected guys, which, you know, I think is, they both said, really, is playing it safe. You know, we know these guys, and a lot of times when you bring in somebody for big money that you don't know, they bust. But I talked to Vrabel about that too. You know, he brought in some guys he knew, but they also went out and found guys that they didn't know.
Yep.
Where you have to make educated gambles, and that was a thing that got the Patriots to the AFC Championship game. I mean, to the AFC title.
615. Hey, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, PK, next time you talk to Alante Taylor, ask him if he'll change his first name to Touchdown.
That was a non sequitur.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, you thought wrong.
Well, I'm laughing at it. I'll laugh amongst myself.
Make that face when you laugh.
Our phone number, 615-737-1025, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Coming up next, PK will be with us the remainder of the show. We welcome your Titans questions on our text line, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
More videos, less articles, please.
Call me a baby or old school or whatever.
The horses, you know, nice looking.
Thank you for recognizing my good looks.
I mean, I don't know. I have a weird face. Yeah, I mean, someone in the SEC thinks I'm hot.
All right, now let's talk about Legarius Sneed, folks, all right?
Ooh, look at the cute raccoon with rabies.
The Titans are coming. The Titans are coming.
Love the city of Boston. I just hate the people.
But we wouldn't know because I'm the only one on camera.
Well, we're coming to your city.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeehaw.
Good, big, and rich in the background. Hate Joseph, the floor is yours.
Yes. John Rich was PK's buddy.
My nemesis.
You'll never guess who else is his buddy based on the story I just heard.
Fortunately, John Rich has kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. Like, when's the last time anybody heard anything about that guy?
I don't know.
We're keeping his memory alive.
He's not dead.
Why? the memory of him as a prominent public figure.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about my former company, and it also is a company that formerly employed Paul Kuharsky, Gannett.
Which is kind of dead.
I will not be like PK. You know, I have a lot of friends, a lot of people I respect in that company. I really have no complaints. 21 years in that company, I don't really have any complaints. You know, PK, I used to listen to him.
How not?
Not massive ones. I mean, I remember listening to you like, it's a trash product. You should only read PaulKuharsky.com. You know, I'm not going to do that. But I do have an issue with Gannett, okay? I have an issue, and we have to address. This has to change. This is so stupid. Now, they did the AI thing, and they kind of got shamed out of that, right? So I'm going to read from Aria Gerson's story from, I think, Sunday on the Vanderbilt-Tennessee baseball series. And by the way, not a criticism of Aria. She does a great job, friend of the show. But here's the paragraph. Second paragraph about Vanderbilt, you know, so Vanderbilt, quote, Vanderbilt won all three games via walk-off. 3-2 win in 10 innings on March 27th, 6-5 in 16 innings on March 28th, and 16-15 on March 29th. In other words, as any other outlet in the entire freaking world would say, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But in Gannett, you now have to say the date. And do you understand how clunky and stupid that is? I mean, it's absolutely incredible. So in May, they changed the policy. And let me see if I can find the... I had it, of course. Yeah, here we go. So this is a USA Today Network style says, quote, because of the permanence of stories in digital, we will discontinue the practice of using days of the week within 7 days of publication, as well as using today, yesterday, or tomorrow. We will now only use the month and the date. Did these people not understand that every story has the date on it?
It's true. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. Clunky is absolutely the right word. And
like
it would slow me down and make me bow out of some stories. Reading.
So about 12 years ago, we changed from, you know, you covered a game that was Thursday, we changed to just say today, okay? Which was weird. I didn't love it. But again, it was like, well, the date is at the top of the story, so you're identifying that it's today. Like at The Athletic, and I think at most places, it's just like if you covered a game that happened on Friday, you say the game happened Friday. And again, the date is at the top of the story permanently. I mean, why not, Gannett? Why not? Why stop here? How about March 28th, 2026? They beat him March 27th, 2026, and then March 28th, 2026, and March 29th, 2026. Why don't we do that? How about we say that, and we'll say, and in the second millennium AD. Why don't we do that? Let's say all that, and for every time you say a date.
They're probably listening and heading that direction.
I mean, again, yeah, there are issues with any large corporation. There are some weird policies. There's some weird stuff that went on during my time. For the most part, it's fine. Stuff like this is like just any of you. And I promise you that we have a lot of friends there, people respect. Anybody listening to this right now, I promise you is nodding in agreement like, oh my God, seriously, what are we doing? I mean, someone use a shred of common sense in Gannett. Thank you.
It is a really, really stupid policy that makes it very awkward to read, which is another reason not to read.
It's another reason to go to PaulKuharsky.com.
Do you say March 29th? Do you say the date? You say today?
Today, yesterday, tomorrow. Within a week, right?
You say tomorrow? Ooh, tomorrow. I don't know, man. I don't know about tomorrow. I think you should say the day.
Oh, yeah, I probably said the day.
You want to be the editor for PaulKuharsky.com?
If he's going to start saying tomorrow,
No,
that,
I said
that. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Up to a week.
We approve.
Up to a week, right?
Would you trust Rex Rowe to edit your stories?
Yeah. I have occasionally, I do not have an editor, obviously. many people know that. Once in a while, I'll send Rex Rowe something for a thought.
He will. I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, you know, happy to do it. I'm here. I'm here to help.
He's not the only one. I mean, I have many friends in the business.
You got an army.
He's very popular. Very popular. Did you ever send any to Tom Pelissero?
No.
Do you have any of your stories?
Pelissero is not at the top of my list right now. I mean, my Pelissero problem is one piece where he lists 163 potential head coaches.
Well, that's been solved.
Which could stop. No, it has.
Well, I mean, it's been solved in terms of he now can view your tweets. So that's good.
Yeah. But it's a ridiculous annual habit, which is and needs to be known. And a lot of my colleagues appreciate that I police it, that it's a thank you to my sources love letter every year. And that shouldn't be permitted without notice. And so I do the noticing.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit discerning within that, right? You got to be a little bit discerning. If you're just gonna say every possible name, then no one's gonna take it seriously. It's like, okay, you're just saying everybody who's even remotely hireable
and who's remotely helped you.
Eli on the text line says, "Don't forget to add the hour, minute, and second that a game started and ended." One texter says, "On March 29th, but at what time? I can't stand not to know exactly which second an event happens when reading a story." There, maybe that's gets added point. To the mix.
Yeah, that's a good point. Time, weather, add in weather.
I mean, you know, on the off chance,
partly cloudy skies.
You know, like the one
under a blue gray October sky.
It was balmy.
The one time every quarter where you might write poetry, you know, to clunk it down with the date, it really kills your chances.
It's really so bad. Yeah, it just it makes you stop as a reader. And again, you have the date on the story.
How about this one? Joey from Bellevue says, "Speaking of PaulKuharsky.com, I just got a notification from PayPal that I paid for my subscription. Keep up the awesome work."
Wow, we got a renewal.
PK getting
there
it done.
Go.
I mean, people in here are just applauding a lot today.
PK is getting it done out there. We got PK with us, the remainder of the show.
Don't do April Fool's Day jokes unless you're 12. Just that's my public notice.
Public service announcement. Boy. Frankly, I forgot it was April Fool's Day, so I guess I need to be on the lookout for that.
I'm actually upset that I didn't try something already. Dang it.
PK with us the remainder of the show. We
That's
welcome
because
your
he
Titans
didn't read
questions.
The date in the Tennessee.
That's right. He could have been right there for you. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money.